Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Path.
All right, we're going to bag on that. All right, you guys okay with just starting? I don't know what the heck's going on with the music today. I'm thinking it's Richard's fault.
I will take responsibility for
that big wire you tripped on when you were coming in. That had the whole station was connected to that one.
So. I've always enjoyed these ones running through the ceiling. I've been yanking on them to see what they do.
Anyway, folks, welcome to Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, an Elder Care Show today. That's Richard right. and Kaylee are here. Thanks for coming, you guys.
Well, and thanks for that live intro. That is great. So it is Elder Care. Radio, and this is another Wellness Wednesday, and we are excited to be here.
It's
always great to continue to learn and investigate things, and Andy, we got a little thing to tell you about. It's kind of interesting.
Am I in trouble or
no? Not at all.
Okay.
Sometimes you just learn things that you think, okay, if I would have put any thought to that, I would have known that. Like, it's obvious, but because we hadn't really, contemplated it, it just kind of, brushes by and you take it for granted. So we learned something this week that we thought would be really helpful to discuss on the radio.
Yeah. So this was a study done by the director of the Center for Infant Studies at Stanford University, the Center for Infant Studies. But we're going to tie this into Elder Care Radio. Her name was Anne Fernald, and she had done this research where she had been in Germany at the Max Planck Institute, and they have an obstetrics department. And a lot of foreigners come there, whether those are the service people coming into Germany from Greece or Hungary or, other areas. And she started kind of following the language or the not really the language, but the tone in those obstetrics. And they found that, when the mother is holding the baby and, doing whatever, that's one thing. But as they set the baby down, they almost all, no matter what culture, no matter what type of language, whether it was one of the Latin languages or a tone language, they would start almost singing to the baby, right? Hmm. They would start using tones. Now, the baby can't understand the words, and the words are all different from country to country, but the tones were similar.
But I think that's just kind of that natural, when you walk near or up to a baby, our voice usually elevates. Hi, little sweet baby. You instantly
I do it on FaceTime with my grandkids.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're talking about. And what we were learning about and what we ended up learning about. So it's on music therapies and voice therapies, right? And it's amazing from this program, some of the things that we learned, not only about music, but about our voices and our intonation when we speak with patients with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yeah, it's our ability to communicate. Now, when we're talking to babies or puppies or kittens, and we're cute. Yeah, we know that they can't understand our words.
Right.
And in fact, I've seen a lot of parents use non-words specifically, gaga, goo-goo, or, babble.
Yeah, I got it.
just to get those tones. But they basically determined that there were four major tones that were universal.
Really?
And those were, first, to show interest, right, to get their attention. That was and to provide support.
Now, is Kaylee going to demonstrate each of these as you read about them, or
no?
Okay. Just thought I'd ask.
And I'm not going to, because it's uncomfortable, and that's
Andy,
I think
that's what you're here for. You did such a good job with the hi, buddy.
See, no, that was perfect. Why would you not do that? Wasn't that good, Richard?
It is. She is great at everything. There's no question. But it's uncomfortable, and I think what we're hoping. Ultimately, what we're talking about here is that when we are dealing with people who no longer have a good ability to communicate or to understand us, there are prehistoric or pre-evolutionary modes that we can still use to try and convey things. And if we concentrate on that, I think we can be more successful, because I know people get frustrated. As we go through our life, we start understanding these tones, these sing-songy types of things and what they are. But then as we mature, we start to depend more on our words,
right?
Because we can communicate more depth and more breadth. But as our as our age goes, sometimes we regress back to that childhood or infant stage. And so it would be good if we could regress our conversation.
And that's kind of one of the points that I really wanted to make. One of the things that we have really discovered from some of our families who are dealing with their moms or dads who have dementia, and remember, Alzheimer's and dementia is connected. So, you know, regardless of the disability, what we have to remember is that our parents, when they do have dementia, they're aging backwards. And so it's very difficult to look at your mom or your dad and not be frustrated with them doing things that seem like, why are you doing that? You're a grown adult. Don't pull the cups out of the cupboard, or, you know, put something in the pot that shouldn't be in the pot, or, you know, put dishes in the washing machine. But we have to remember, if we can look at our parents who are suffering with dementia more like toddlers and be patient with them and remember that they're struggling with an inability. They're not trying to frustrate us. We take for granted when we look at toddlers, we instantly come at them with, oh, so cute and patience, and we just want to help them. And, you know, we will repeat things 10 times and we'll ask them to repeat to us 10 times. And we never lose our patience with them because we don't want to frustrate them. But somehow, because it's our parents, sometimes we forget that our parents are now a toddler. And we need to give them that same courtesy. So if we approach them with that
sing-songy voice,
with kindness, even if they don't understand what we're asking of them, they'll recognize that we're trying to be friendly to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it can just change the position of the conversation and the progress and the result.
So the first one that they had kind of identified was approval, you know, and getting the child to continue with what they're doing. And that's a kind of a high, low, you know, pitch where you're talking to them, but you're raising your voice and you're lowering your voice and, mm-hmm. and kind of creating this flow in your voice that helps the child continue to do what they're doing. So if they're approving, oh, yes, you've got it. That's great. Keep doing that.
And also those affirmations and that positive feedback and the way that we say it is also beneficial to our loved ones.
That's right. And
regardless
so,
of the age.
So that first level of communication is showing approval and encouragement. And I think, again, when we're dealing with adults, we don't use tone, we use words. But when somebody doesn't understand the words, then we lose everything. If we can go back to, first showing a lot of approval. You know, because positive reinforcement is a powerful tool to help people do that. So if you need to help your parents get ready for the day and get dressed, being able to encourage them in anything they're doing to move in that direction, using those tones would be great.
And single syllables.
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing, kind of like with puppy dogs and young children. If you try to use a, you know, really big word, you may lose them in the large word. But if we go back to childlike tones mm-hmm. and words and compliments, will be received better. Sometimes I think what I have found with, as we educate and try and discuss it with the families of our patients who have dementia, they feel it's almost a lack of respect, but it's not. You're just trying to communicate in a way that your parents can understand you. Now, if you make an issue out of it, then it'll be an issue. It's mm-hmm. kind of that sense of, I recognize that you're talking down to me versus, oh, Dad, thank you for doing that. You did that so well. Let's move on to this, right? So
right.
It's just all about making it natural and using those loving, kind tones. And that's what I like to say. Isn't it more like when we see a child, don't we just want to give them a voice that says acceptance and love and you can't do anything wrong? Shouldn't we take a deep breath when we're approaching our parents who do frustrate us when they have dementia sometimes, but it's not their intent? If we approach them with that same accepting kindness and loving voice of, hi, Mom, how are you this morning? Even if she doesn't recognize all of your words. She recognizes your approach and your voice as being kind, loving, accepting. And those are, you know, tones have an amazing way of communicating.
And I will say that if it doesn't work, if you try everything you can to get them to do what you're asking them to do and it's not working, nothing that they don't do is that important that we need to lose everything. Go ahead and just postpone it. Wait an hour. You know, try again later. Things may be different. So let's not ever get caught up in the moment where
just
we think,
like your toddler, they may be having a bad hour, but they quickly forget. And so just, we can't be in such a hurry that we push them to our schedule.
Right.
So you walk away, take a deep breath, and come back in an hour, and it might be completely different.
And the second set of sounds that they noticed, or tones, or music, was prohibition. You know, to stop something. And I think we can all imagine what that would sound like. It's a very short, sharp word. I mean, if you're communicating with a dog, it doesn't matter what word you use, but there's a way to communicate the intent of stopping.
What is the word?
Yeah. What would you say if you were trying to stop your child quickly, a toddler?
Stop? Really loudly?
Stop.
Well, you could. Hey, no, stop.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
You know, just anything.
A buzzer works.
Yeah. Right. That gets their attention. It refocuses. That's not what we want to use all the time, obviously, because we want to.
It's kind of negative reinforcement.
It is. Yeah. It's negative reinforcement.
But sometimes you have to do that.
That's
well,
right.
Exactly.
Necessary.
And even with your parents, if they're going about to do something that, just like a toddler, that is dangerous for them, then yeah, you do have to use that sharp and quick.
Maybe not the buzzer, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we don't need to spend an hour counseling them, because that just frustrates. They don't really understand. I mean, start looking at your loved one. Not in a disrespectful way, but understanding that their level of communication is somewhere between a toddler and a teenager. Mm-hmm. And they're going to age backwards. So early on in the disease, they're, you know, young adult, 30s, 20s, teens, and toddlers. And we'd have to respect the place that our parents are in at that time, and we have to be the one that has to adjust to serve their needs and to approach them in a way that they can receive it.
Right. So encouragement, trying to get people to stop doing something, you know, that prohibition. And then the next one was just pay attention. And so it's, hey, look at this. And it's just rising tones. Look over here. See what this is? Those kind of rising tones are encouraging them to move in that direction. And so, again, if we just analyze this and figure out what our goal is and which of these may work, then I think we're going to be well ahead. And the fourth one, and this is a very important one, it is a tone of comfort. Being able to just make them feel comfortable. They may not understand our conversation, but if we're using a nice, smooth, even tone when we're talking, it allows them to relax a little bit, and they will feel better about the circumstances.
And again, just like your, young adults, your teenagers, your youth, and your toddlers, maybe soft music in the background, even though they don't necessarily recognize that it's in the background, it takes away other distractions. And keeps a calmness. So you can try that as well. Some people are too focused on the music, but as you got to try and figure out what works for your loved one. So these are just methods of things to try to make your life a little bit more calm and relaxing and have a better flow throughout your day.
One of the things about this particular study that I thought was interesting was they talked about it as touch, that this music or this talking or these tones are really a form of touch, and how important touch is. And if we're in the other room when somebody is, you know, laying in bed, and we can communicate with them in a way that they can understand, even if they don't understand our words, by just singing these songs or you know, talking in a way that provides either comfort or encouragement or things like that, I think it's surprising how effective it can be, obviously with small children. Even I think we could do that more with, you know, adults and people around us. But for our elderly community, it may be a very effective way to help them accomplish more in their life and feel better about what goes on.
Well, and I think everybody recognizes that music and melodies have a way to touch us, right? It moves us on the inside. An exciting, happy, upbeat tone is going to brighten the mood, and a sad song's going to move you emotionally. And it's the same with our adult dementia friends who are struggling with their medical issues on a very real subliminal level. That tone and music will touch them 99.9% of the time. And it might not work today, and tomorrow it does. But again, just ideas to help you get through your difficult challenges.
And if you think this works for you, let us know that we're not wrong. Give us a call. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. Let us know if you try this and it works for you. We would really like to know that. We just want to make sure we're giving good information to the community. So moving on to This Week in Hospice, we had an interesting thing. We were invited by the Catholic Church last night to hold a meeting and explain to their parishioners and other people in the community about palliative care, because what we're trying to get out is significantly more than many people understand. And within the Catholic Church, they've got a program called Stephen Ministries, where they are trying to provide support to the community for those people in need. And so they just wanted everybody to understand what was going on. And we had, you know, some people show up, and we had some great conversations. And it was interesting because a lot of people showed up not knowing what was really going to be said, just that they were encouraged to be there. And the conversations we had, once they knew what it was about, they had wished that there were other people that would have known what it was about, because they would have liked to invite people that they knew that probably needed
right.
that information.
I had, Richard and I were both talking to different people as they approached, but I had at least three people say, wow, if I would have known this is what you were going to talk about, I have a neighbor or a family member that could have really used some of these benefits. And it's hard to talk about hospice, but it would have been great to be able to say, hey, come learn more about the new palliative program that's just hit Utah and the benefits and services that they provide to make living as a senior so much better, such a you know, help you in your home, to remain in your home or in a facility, to help the family know that they have all their resources and all the care is being taken care of. So once they knew what the palliative program was, they felt like they could have invited, you know, their neighbors and their loved ones without offending them. And so we are coming back on on September 28th.
That's
just
right.
2 weeks from now.
Tuesday the 28th of this month. They've invited us back to have a much more complete discussion about what can be done. And so what we got for feedback, we would like to encourage everybody that's listening to invite anybody that they know to come. This is a great opportunity to not have to go into great explanation for people. Just say, hey, this thing's going on, and it'd be great to go. There'll be some food and
we're going to play games, and there'll be prizes, and come out and, you know, be with your, meet some new friends and bring some of your old friends. So it really will be a fun event. That's on the 28th. It's a Tuesday. It's the week after next. It's at the Catholic Church in the Coosie Hall. That's their large gathering. Doors will open at 6:00. We'll begin at 6:30. If you want directions or any additional information, give our office a call, 435-477-6999.
So the conversations we had, basically the people we talked to didn't know what palliative care was, and we've talked about it occasionally on the radio, and you may have heard one of those episodes, but you may not have. And so we'd kind of like to cover a little bit about what we see as palliative care and how that can impact lives. And so palliative care, if we were just going for a straight textbook definition, are those things that we can do that may not cure or aren't intended to cure, but do relieve symptoms, address problems, make life better. Right?
So up until we arrived, the only palliative provision that was provided was pain management, which is very, very important, but it can be so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be pain management just through drugs. What we always want to do when we're assessing a situation and trying to come up with a solution is to look at all of the options that are available and find out what works best for the individual. And we're not talking about just a clinical response. We're talking about what's best for the individual based upon what they believe they want, how they want to be treated, what their goals are. And so pain management, certainly there are drugs that are available. But if it's a pain that can be addressed through physical therapy, we would like to explore physical therapy. If it can be addressed through massage, then we'd like to do that. If it can be addressed through just some mental exercises to rework that, and those are the things that the patient wants to try, then we want to support that. But beyond just pain management, everything in our life, when we look at situations, any hard situation, if we are in a situation that is not going to necessarily go away and we need to figure out our best way through it, then that's really where palliative care comes in. So if it's an anxiety issue, if it's an inability, let's say that, our ADLs, our activities of daily life, are harder to accomplish, and we can come up with ways to work through that make more sense, then we want to do that. And so this conversation that we're going to be having in 2 weeks is really about all of the things that are available in the community or available to individuals that may not be the traditional straight clinical solution, but can be very effective.
I think the benefit of having a program where we can discuss one-on-one or in a large format is because palliative care is so dynamic. You can't really put it in a brochure. I mean, we can list some things. We can say, of course, the obvious is we do manage pain, absolutely. But then we do offer all of the therapies in addition to what it is that on a personal level would bring you a higher quality of life. So the plan of care or the palliative program, it can constantly change based on your needs and as they change. So as Richard said, it can be physical therapy, massage therapy. We have some enjoying pet therapy, and I love massage therapy. Did I already say that? I'll say it again. But it's just all the therapies in addition, right? So it's dynamic. It's what's important to you.
So the question becomes, what's your palliative? And we mentioned that a few weeks ago, trying to get people to define that. Andy, did you come up with what's your palliative?
Opera music. He loves opera music.
No. It's definitely not opera music. To me, that's the same category as rap and hip hop.
Okay.
Just throw them out and let's go somewhere in the middle. But I don't know. I think about when my mom got sickest and what they really needed was just a little bit of help, to relieve the stress, a little bit of help around the house, a little bit of help, with the ADLs, activities of daily life. And I think that, for me, if I were to get to that point, I'd say, just ease things up for me just a little bit.
Right. And, the other hospice companies, they do an incredible job, but the nurses are limited usually to about 1 to 3 hours a week of that help. And we have found that that really isn't enough. So often the palliative really is more help in the home, more than 1 to 3 hours a week plus the nurse coming by. Often it's, 6 hours a week, 10 hours a week.
Yeah, and that help in the home.
What is your palliative? It could be...
Yeah, well, that help in the home may not be just bathing and changing sheets. There may be other things that need to be done. We had a lady who, when we asked the question, what is it that is most important for you? She, at first says, look, you don't need to do anything for me. In fact, if you do, you'll make me uncomfortable. I said, okay, well, then let me phrase it this way. We're going to do some things around here that'll make you very uncomfortable. Now you tell me what those are that'll be most effective. And her big deal was, because she was going to have people coming over, she was preparing for this passing, she wanted her windows washed. And so we sent some window washers in to wash the windows inside and out. Because
and house cleaners.
That relieves so much stress for her. So it really is dependent upon, you know, that circumstance.
An individual.
Yeah. So what's your palliative? And if it is help around the house, then that's good. Otherwise, let us know what your palliative is. Telephone number 435-477-6999. Thanks for being with us here on Wednesday.
We hope to talk to you soon, everyone.